Thank you for being with us today on Full Logic Reverse. I'm your host, Mike Thornton, and our guest today is Bob Peterson, editor of Rethinking Schools and a fifth grade teacher. Is it in Milwaukee, Mr. Peterson?
Yes, Milwaukee Public Schools.
Perhaps you could talk to us about the issues of education, which, of course, is why we have you on the program today. As of late, of course, President Clinton has spoke about his emphasis on education and that being a major component of the bridge to the 21st century. Of course, at the same time, it seems that our public schools, at least in many cases, appear to be failing a number of the students that are attending these schools. Certainly my perspective, and as I shared with you prior to the program, that I am particularly concerned with what appears to be a abandoning of people who are poor inner city, primarily black and brown children. The system seems to be abandoning them at just about every turn, including in education, in my opinion, and perhaps I'm wrong about that. So Bob Peterson, editor of Rethinking Schools, perhaps you could tell the audience about your perspectives on all of this.
Yeah, well, certainly the question of education is a broad one, but let's start with the most recent developments, which is President Clinton deciding to make education a centerpiece in his second administration. You know, he mentioned it in large part in the State of the Union address and in his budget proposals, and I think him highlighting education, because it's such an important issue as you laid out, is a positive thing. It's a step in the right direction. Unfortunately, his proposals, I think, are clearly inadequate given the scope of the problem, some of which you've described. You know, much of his efforts actually are oriented towards higher education in terms of tax credit, tax breaks. And when you look at what's actually being talked about in terms of targeting the kids who are currently underserved in our public school systems and in our private schools, there's not as much as really needed. I think when you look at issues of schooling in this country, I think one of the main criteria that people should use to judge effectiveness is around issues of equality and equity. And what we find is that on the level of resources, on the level of expectations, on the level of facilities, we have great inequality in this country. And so, like in our case in the Milwaukee area, you have children who are living in fairly resource-rich suburbs, in families where they have a great deal of resources, home computers, ability to go to private lessons and camps. And they go to schools, publicly funded schools, that receive maybe twice as much money as the children who live in the central city of Milwaukee, who live in a community or in families which are resource scarce. They don't have home computer. They don't have even a car to get their kids to a private lesson if they could afford the tuition in a private lesson. They don't have the summer camp possibilities. And yet the schools which they go to are funded at about half the level of schools of the more privileged children. I work at an inner city school, which is actually a very fine school, but our facility is 93 years old. It's, I have, donated computers, plugged into, power strip after power strip, sort of daisy chained, all along the wall, because the money hasn't been available for those kids. Now, money isn't everything, but it's certainly a good indication of what we think about our children. And Jonathan Kozol recently said that, you know, in our whole society, if we wanted to send kids a message, I mean, you could really look at how much we spend on their education. And basically what we're saying is those kids who are privileged, our society feels much much more indebted to, and we'll give them more money. They're worth maybe $10,000 a year. And those kids who come from less privileged backgrounds, who tend to be poor and people of color, well, they're worth maybe $4,000 or $5,000 a year. And when you think about it, to me, it's almost criminal in how we would treat kids like that. Now, So on the one hand, I have to argue strongly for changes in state tax structures and resource allocation. At the same time, I'm not going to say that money will solve all our problems. It certainly, I think, it's a requisite to improve situations. But even with a small amount of money or limited resources, I think schools can be and should be doing a better job. And that gets into a whole different area of things, which we can talk about. But just so for a start, I think it's good to view and assess issues of education through the lens of equity, because public education over the years, over the decades in our country, has in many ways opened doors to children who have come from families with less of resources, less privileges, and have enabled people to not only move up in society, but move broad, you know, move around and break out of traditional roles which they might have otherwise been pigeonholed into.
We're talking with Bob Peterson, who's a fifth grade teacher in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin City School System, and also editor of Rethinking Schools. My name is Mike Thornton. This is Full Logic Reverse, and thank you for being with us today on the program. Mr. Peterson, let me ask you this, because when you were speaking, several things came to my mind. One of them being that there seems to be, and perhaps it's my own bias, but certainly there seems to be, particularly, predominantly from conservative circles, that you know, the whole issue is about teachers, you know, teachers need to be better. And while certainly I think we can all agree that we want the best teachers available to be educating our youngsters, the other thing that I hear predominantly from conservative circles is the whole issue of vouchers and school choice and so forth and so on. It seems to me that many of the people who are forming and shaping the debate around education and who are creating the policies and those type of things are neglecting the inequities that are inherent in the way the system is funded. I mean, you know, how can you expect people to do well when, you know, they're not given the tools to do well with, you know? I mean, and at the same time, it seems these very same people who don't want to give the tools to the students primarily, and then the teachers who teach them, of course, at the very same time are looking for every excuse they can to further allow people with private money to abandon the system. You know, and so what you have eventually is one system for those who have nothing, which will be funded with nothing, as the rest of the people who can afford to, you know, go somewhere else and do quite well. Nobody seems to want to address this issue of inherent inequity. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, you raised both issues of vouchers and equitable schooling, and then issues of teachers. Let's deal with the issue of teachers first off.
Please.
Because I think, I mean, anybody who has gone through either a private or public school system, which probably means virtually everybody in this country, has had good teachers and bad teachers. I mean, I'm certainly not going to say that they're not bad teachers. I think some teachers are inadequate. They might have been trained poorly. They might not really have kids at heart. They might have been basically burned out because of a very difficult, you know, teaching situation or whatever. And that actually might add is probably true in most occupations. You don't have just great people 100% of the time in all occupations. The question is, what do you do in situations when you have a teacher who's struggling, a teacher in need. And for the most part, our school systems have not adequately dealt with that. Now, the conservatives will say it's all because of the union contracts and so on and so forth. But you could probably look in the states in the South, where there's virtually no union protection for teachers, and still find a fair amount of teachers who are in need of help.